Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
Get started and go from there. So, hey, listen, welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. We have with us today a, I don't want to say an anomaly. I think what he is he's somebody who's used his experience to create some great success and some cool opportunities. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that can learn a lot from him. So we got Sean with us today. I don't want to screw up your last name. So correct me. It's just Douglas, right?
Yep. That's it, man. Yep.
And, well, like you're talking with a knuckle. You're just like you're talking with a knuckle dragon Marine here. So I mispronounced my own first name. No, listen, I'm excited that you dedicated some time with us today. But before we jump into military experience, before we jump into knuckleheads and mistakes and things that we've done, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to join the military and what got you interested in the Air Force and why didn't you join the Marines and that type of thing.
Okay, so I didn't join the Marines because first of all, I was either going to join the Air Force or the Marines. But I didn't because I looked at what I wanted to do and I was like, man, I really love to work on planes. I really, and my brother-in-law was a Marine at the time. And he's like, dude, we have planes. You can just work on ours. I'm like, yeah, but like, I kind of want to fly them. He's like, you can fly in the Marines, I'm like, well, I don't know. And so he's like, I'm just going to the Air Force. That's what they do. That's what they specialize in. It's the air, So that's why I went into the military. Primarily because I had no other passion in life, like zero, no purpose, no passion. I graduated high school with like a 1.9 or 2.0 or something like that. I had zero, like zero passion, purpose. I was working at Discount Tire in Port Huron, Michigan as a warehouse manager.
Wow.
And I was living with my mom and then 9/11 happened. And I was like, holy crap, this is it. This is my dare to be great scenario that this is what I got to do, And so I was like, I quit, and walked over to the recruiter's office. I was like, I need to join, serve my country, So then I left, went to basic training, and I've been serving ever since.
Okay, so it's important. I've always heard it said, you got to begin with the end in mind. So we jumped into your story. Tell people a little bit just real quickly. So you're TEDx speaker,
yep.
Correct? You do speaking engagements now. So you parlayed living with your mom, Discount Tire, military training, so now you're paid for people listening to you run your mouth. Is that right?
Yeah. So my mom used to yell at me all the time. She'd go, stop talking. Shut up. And then when I became a speaker, I'm like, guess what, mom? I get paid to freaking talk now, but it was just so funny because going through the military and I wasn't a success story, man. It was like, I went into the military and life was great. No, like I fell into abusing alcohol for a little bit. I was deployed overseas a lot. Got in with some bad people. My house had burned down. I got my dogs taken away. I had failed relationships. Like I went through a period of like just suck.
Let's hold on for a second. Are we talking about all within a year, 2 year time frame, or what are we talking about?
We're talking about like from probably 2004 to 2008, like a 4 year period. Yeah, that sucked. That sucked real bad.
Well, it's important to I think here's what a lot of people miss, and I don't think it's just our audience here. I think that this is indicative of people that that want to get it right the first time. I mean, why? Because we're taught, if you would do something right the first time, you'll never have to do it over again.
Right.
Where in some cases, the lessons that you learn in that 4 years are literally paying your bills now because you learned from them.
Right.
And that's what knucklehead is. I mean, the whole idea is you weren't beta about the process. You may have been less strategic about it. However, it led to some really good findings and some cool opportunities for you. So share one of them. I mean, you just shared all those instances, but what did you learn from one of those that are helping you today?
Dude, your network is equal to your net worth, man. I hung out with people that were just like me or worse, like abusing alcohol, no passion, purpose, stuff like that. I'd say the biggest takeaway is that you got to know yourself. You really got to know yourself, because there's things that I didn't deal with that I would just try to drink away. And then they were still there. You know what I mean? Which led to me abusing alcohol and getting in trouble. And you know, I was almost getting kicked out of the military at one time. So, you know, I'd say that, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe. You know, we always hear that your vibe attracts your tribe. You're the average of the five people that you hang around the most, and like, you know, all these little cliche sayings, but it's true though, you know? And so if you audit your life, you'll see that your vibe attracts your tribe. Look at the people that you hang around. Are they successful? They're not successful. Are they like you? You know? So that's the huge takeaway, man.
I mean, you can apply that lesson to your kids. You can apply that lesson to, you know, what you want your influence to be later on. However, you got to go through tripping over, screwing up, and making mistakes. And where was it revealed to you that, was it after the 4 years that you said, all right, light bulb went off, I'm going to make a change? Or was it, you know, 2 years into it, but you just didn't have enough courage to be able to go through that process? Because I've been both. I've had both. Yeah. Light bulb going off, and then also going, God, I need to make a change, but I'm not man enough to realize that all the mistakes that I've made, and I've really just got to stop and reset. I didn't have the courage to be able to do that. So I don't know if that's your story.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wakes up saying, you know, I'm just going to fail at everything today. I'm not going to do anything right. I'm just going to fail at everything. That's what I'm going to do today. Nobody wakes up saying that. Nobody wants it to happen, but it's like you try to do one thing good. And when that falls apart, you're like, screw it. I'm just freaking whatever. You know, you always wake up like new day, new start. So through those years, I was like, man, I really want to do something great. And I really want to, you know, and I would try. And then like things would fall apart, you know? And it's just like, dude, like what? Like this sucks. You know, I get wrapped up into debt. Other people influence me, like, come on, come hang out with us, come do this. And I was like, well, I really probably shouldn't. Screw it, I'm going, you know? And then it turns out to be horrible, you know? Trying to impress people, caring more about what other people think about me than what I think about me, you know, really took me down a negative spiral, because I never felt valued, never felt like I was good enough. And so during these 4 years, I really tried to do good, but I would make stupid decisions because I thought that, you know, people would like me more. I don't know. And, you know, I ended up getting married in 2007 after the house burned down, and I'm getting married. And then we ended up getting divorced in 2008. And then, you know, I started to become like suicidal. It was like, I'm done, dude. I don't want to do this anymore. This game sucks. I don't want to play this game no more, you know? But it wasn't until I became a drill instructor and I saw the potential that I had in 2009 that they were like, dude, you're really good at this. And I was like, no, you're really good at this. And in 2010, I became their instructor of the year. You know, I was the best one in the unit, you know? And I was like, holy crap, this might be a thing that we might've found. It's almost like a Full Metal Jacket moment. Like, holy crap, Private Pile, we might have found something you're good at, you know? And I was like, this was it. Like, this is what I never even knew that I was good at this. So, yeah, right around the time that I became a drill instructor, I was like, I'm good at this. And then I found John Maxwell. And then I read a book by Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking. And then I found, you know, other people like, you know, like Seth Godin. And it was like early on Simon Sinek's career, like real early on, you know what I mean? Like I started finding out like all of these new people coming up, you know, and I was like, who's John Maxwell? Like, what's this guy? Leadership, what's this? I started reading all these books, and then it was like my brain exploded, and how I think, feel, and believe about myself and about the world completely changed.
There's two paths that happen in the military. And I don't think it's just unique to the military. I think it happens in big corporations. I'm hearing it now with friends of mine that are kind of at that juncture within their career where they say, you know what, I'm tired of middle management. I'm ready to go start my own business. Or if I'm in middle management, it's always upper management, executive level management. It's their fault as to why you know, there's a lid on my, a cap on my potential, so to speak. Right. But there's two paths, really. And it's a positive path or it's a negative path.
Right.
And it comes back to, if you, even if you look at that and examine it, there's a decision where people can say, well, what can I control? It's really only your actions and your attitude. Yet, people are always dependent upon somebody else's ability to handle that situation earlier, because that person that they're dependent on is either the entrepreneur, the business owner, or somebody who is able to actually generate enough revenue to where they can actually, you know, help them actually fund their journey too. And so, to be specific, let me go back and say it this way. You, in 2008, I think is when it was, if somebody who had their stuff together in 2006 was able to actually earn those stripes, and in 2008 introduced it to you. And so then therefore, now you have the ability to learn from, oh shoot, I can learn from him, but I can also learn from John Maxwell and all the years that he spent sewing into leadership material, all the years that Simon Sinek, you know, came up with coming up with that lesson of starting with why. And, you know, it's very impactful. However, it gets lost on people because they're so distracted by the debt that they have, the lack of income and the lack of resources. And they try to like not make mistakes. And my encouragement, and you and your experience has taught you, the more you screw up and the more that you make those mistakes, there's so many lessons and value in that experience. You have to be able to squeeze that lesson in productivity out of it. Otherwise, it's just a screw up, and you'll never be able to move forward. And I think that there's so much power in the story that you shared, because people will read John Maxwell and go, all right, well, what is developing the leader within me? I fell asleep in chapter five. You know, they don't understand all those different. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the lessons that are in there and how it applies to their life. So how did you learn? That's what I want to know. How did you learn how to do that?
Yeah, you know, I was always really good about doing research and figuring out how things would apply. You know, even when I was in high school, you know, I'd weed through the crap. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be in English class or math class, like, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use that. I'll do it, but I'm not going to use that. But I would really hone in on what really am I going to use? What am I going to apply? And like you said, you know, like developing the leader within, I was like, come on. I already know this. This is hit on the military. This is, ooh, here's something. Right. And I'm like, okay, let me keep that in my back pocket a little bit. All right. I like it. And then it's dry, it sucked. Oh, wait. Oh, here's something else. So I try to pick out and really master what I can apply immediately. And then always keep a toolbox of things that I know and things that I've learned, you know, handy just in case. And I can just pull it out, use it, and then, you know, put it away. So that's really, you know, like I said, even when I was a kid, you know, I'd watch documentaries and like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I always loved learning. I always loved research. You know what I mean? And so there was that 4-year period. I think I got away from it. You know, I really wasn't doing any personal development, professional development. Like, I was just like, dude, just leave me alone. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I fully agree with the statement that you said earlier, man. But I really just try to hone in on the things that really I think that matter the most and things that I can capitalize the most at that time. Super long answer.
No, I mean, you're talking about optimization is what you're talking about. Prioritization and optimization.
So yeah.
You're talking about surfacing earlier in the decision-making process what's important, and then optimizing it by what you can take action against now, and what can you squeeze in terms of production now. So, so tell us a little bit about how you, I mean, I don't know if you can share this or not, but how did you land your first speaking gig? What was that about? Did you, talk about that. That'd be, it'd be cool to hear.
So in 2014, I became a master resilience trainer and implementer for the Air Force. Now, when I was a drill instructor from 2009 to 2013, I would speak at high schools and colleges, and I would judge national drill competitions in Texas. You know, so really, if you want to think about the first time, they were like, hey, would you like to come speak to our school? I'm like, absolutely. You know, it wasn't paid, but I was talking to a high school, talking to a bunch of seniors, you know, but really like first professional speed engagement, because I mean, I would train resilient skills you know, to the military people and everything. So, I mean, I was already doing all the speaking training, but really, like, outside of everything that I've ever done was in South Carolina. It was in, I think, Charleston or somewhere around there, Columbia, South Carolina. It was a youth leadership group, and it was like 25 youth or something like that. And they wanted to put on like this conference, but they invited like a bunch of like they had firefighters there. They had like some police there. They had local business owners. They had some local entrepreneurs. They had a bunch of different people there. And I was one of the keynotes. And then, it wasn't paid. It wasn't a paid one, but I had found them on Eventbrite, because everybody puts their events on Eventbrite. So I went on Eventbrite and I was like, well, if that's where all the events are, let me contact the event organizers, right? And let's see if they need anything. So instead of searching for the events, I just went where all the events are, which is Eventbrite. And then I searched for events and I saw leadership and I was like, whoa, hold on. I do leadership because I'm in the military. And I contacted the event organizer and I said, hey, I don't know if you do a speaker call or whatever it's called, but I'd love to speak at your event because I do leadership and everything else. Pitched. Yeah, let's do it. So I drove like the 4 or 5 hours or whatever to from North Carolina to South Carolina. They bought my hotel room. That's pretty much all I got, was they paid for my hotel room, which was like $100. Right. And then, brought the whole family. I brought my friend who's a photographer, videographer, so I could get some cool video, you know, and that was my first one. And it was okay. I look back, because that was 2015 or 2016. I look back and I'm just like, it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was all right. I clean this, I do this, you know, but, you know.
I like how you put that. You're like, I do leadership because I'm in the military. You know, there's some PFC right now or airman, senior airman leaning up against the broom in the corner going, what do you mean? I do leadership because I'm in the military. I don't get it. I got conned by my recruiter. This is such crap. Right. It, quite frankly, you're exactly right. You have the ability to, first of all, you were an undisciplined civilian for a period of time, and then you became a product of the military training. As a result of that, I had somebody on my podcast not too long ago. He talked about how he's like, I hate giving credit to the military for anything, except for they did a really good job training. You know, and yeah. That's the truth.
Yep.
They do. They are absolutely one. I was just talking with somebody a little bit earlier today, and they were talking about how, you know, when it comes to budget line items within the DOD, I mean, they could pull apart the DOD and go to the five different entities, and the number one line item specifically for the Army is training. Why? Well, because there's not, you know, you have to be able to train your people. And that's kind of what leadership is. So
you got to give them the skills, man. You got to give them the skills.
Yeah.
I was just speaking. This is interesting. I was just speaking at a conference, at the Procedures Professionals Association conference in South Carolina. And one of the things that they said was all mishaps that happen, right? They did a study. Knowledge, rules, and skills. If you have the school, if you have the skills, 1 in 10, I think, have a mishap. Jobs that are done might have a mishap. Rules-based tasks, whatever, like you have to follow this book, whatever, is like 1 in 50 or like 1 in 100. But knowledge-based, the mishaps are like 1 in 1,000. Yeah. If I just go on memory, I'm going to mess it up. But if I have if I have the skills and I know exactly what I need to do, you're not going to mess it up. I thought that was, yeah. So training, huge.
Well, going back to that stat, it's kind of amazing because everybody learns differently. And so all the different mediums that we interact with now in today's world, I mean, how many people are driving and texting and how many people are, you start talking about how people learn, how people function, how people operate. Training is absolutely 100% needed, because when things go awry, and things go awry all the time, whether you're in sales, whether you're in operations, whatever, you're going to fall back to what your body's going to go back to what it was trained to do. And if you're not being diligent about those disciplines, you're going to screw up. But that's okay. If you screw up, you got to learn from it. So you can apply that training going forward and go out and get you some wins.
How can
people find Sean Douglas? How do they interact with you? Because I'm interested in how people can support you. I mean, this is part of the reason why we have this podcast and have people get have guests on.
Yeah, so I only do Facebook and LinkedIn. I don't do any of those other weird ones like Snapagram or InstaChat or any of those other weird ones, you know. You know, my website is www.thesuccesscorps, like Marine Corps, Peace Corps, C-O-R-P-S. So thesuccesscorps.com, and then I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm all over Facebook. That's it.
That's awesome. So people just email Sean at Success Corps. Is that how that works?
Yep. Sean, S-E-A-N, like Sean Connery or Sean Penn, which kind of dates me because I'd sell people that. They're like, oh, it's like Sean Connery. Like, who's that? I'm like, oh, dear God. So
don't you watch James Bond, son?
Right? What's the matter with you? Where were you?
Sean Connery. Do yourself a favor if you're a listener of this podcast and watch The Rock.
Oh,
go watch the movie The Rock.
What a great
Sean
movie.
You'll know exactly who Sean Connery is after his famous line.
Or when he's a thief. What's that movie with him and Catherine Zeta-Jones, I think her name is, and he's a thief. And they have to play
a
heist or whatever. Dude, just freaking awesome. It's an awesome movie. I can't think of that.
Now you're putting me on the spot. Who knows? If it's Catherine Zeta-Jones, then go to Google and find it out. So,
right?
No, that's awesome. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking some time, Sean, to chat with our audience here, sharing some lessons. Obviously, having your house burned down, going through a divorce, going through all of those learning lessons, just going through the fire from 2004 to 2008, and it being able to set the table to where you're at now, successful business owner, military guy, family, you got you're a dad, you're a husband. So all the things that we aspire to be as Americans here and really responsible people. So appreciate the example that you're setting and keep on trucking, man. So
I appreciate your time, man, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the audience, and it's awesome. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, you heard it here, guys. Knucklehead Podcast. We've had Sean Douglas on Success Corps. He's not on InstaChat, so don't try to find him anywhere else other than Facebook and the World Wide Web. And LinkedIn. You can get you on LinkedIn too. So remember, don't be bait about the process. Go out and get you some wins and make today happen. We'll talk to you soon. See you guys.